You know, the world right now is a really unsettled place. And for such a time as this, women play a most important role in history as peacemakers. The goal of Ladies of Liberty Sound Off is to affect the lives of women in an empowering way through discussion of important issues of the day. So, are you ready? The Ladies of Liberty are ready to sound off.
Well, ladies, there is a big subject that I want to talk about today. And there is a article that is out that anybody can find that is called Critical Race Theory, What It Is and How to Fight It. It's by Christopher Rufo. He is the founder and director of Battlefront. He did a speech, a lecture delivered at Hillsdale College back on March 30th, 2021. And the article is well worth reading for anybody. But I want to touch on a few things because this is really something that bothers me in our businesses and in our schools. So in explaining critical race theory, for those who need a little background, it kind of helps to begin with a little history of Marxism. And originally, the left, the Marxist left, built its political program on the theory of class conflict. Doesn't that sound familiar right now? Marx believed that the primary characteristic of industrial societies was the imbalance of power between capitalists and workers. So the solution that he saw was revolution. The workers would eventually gain consciousness of their plight, seize the means of production, overthrow the capitalist class, and usher in a new socialist society. During the 20th century, we've seen a number of regimes going through Marxist-style revolutions. So you can take Venezuela, that's a perfect example. But each and every one has ended in disaster. There has never been a Marxist society that has succeeded. This socialist plan, just it doesn't work. And what it's done mostly is rack up a body count of nearly 100 million of their own people in these countries. If you can think about the gulags, the trials, the executions, the mass starvations, all of those things. And what Christopher Rufo says is that Marx's ideas unleashed man's darkest brutalities. Well, critical race theory is an academic discipline which was formulated now in the 1990s, built on the framework of identity-based Marxism. So they teach this in schools, and now it's becoming the default ideology in our public institutions, and it's injected into your government agencies, public schools, teachers, corporate human resources departments, training programs, all kinds of places, and especially into our school curricula. The euphemisms deployed by this, which we all know, are words like equity, social justice, diversity, inclusion, culturally responsive teaching. Those are all words that we're hearing a lot lately. And all of those signal this whole cultural change that they're trying to make in America.
Yeah, I find this very sad on the face of it. Critical race theory is really a very false kind of a thing to call this. I'm looking at this more as history being rewritten and our culture in America, our American heritage and our American culture is being canceled. And that is a very dangerous thing to do. It's been done in the past in other countries, as you said, with great disastrous effects. So, making one race feel inferior to another race is in itself racism. So critical race theory is really teaching racism. It's telling children who are white or partially white that they are responsible for all the problems in the world. And I don't really see how this is going to unite us or help us in any way. I actually think it's a plot to destroy America and to create groups that are in great conflict with one another. Just like you said, in Marxism, that's exactly what happens. And Marxism generally devolves into fascism. So that's where we're headed, folks. So if anybody has a child in school being indoctrinated with this, I would pull them out immediately. I would find a charter school or a homeschool group and get my child out of that toxic environment. That's my own belief system anyways. I think that companies that are teaching this or forcing employees to bow down to this doctrine, I believe it's actually illegal to be doing this. So I know the military is also taking this view as well. And that's another great concern to me. This is something we need to fight, and we need to fight it hard and fight it fast.
Well, I totally agree with you, Ava. You know, this is so reminiscent of Mao Zedong's Cultural Revolution. It's just a carbon copy. People are in America now are taking their instruction from Mao Zedong, who famously used the youth in China to spread his Cultural Revolution. There was a point when I was living in Hong Kong, and the Red Guard, this was in 1967, the Red Guard were just flowing through Hong Kong, all these teenage kids with their red berets. We were trapped in a hotel room for about 6 days at one point. We couldn't leave. We couldn't go to the airport. We couldn't go out on the street because the Red Guard was flowing through the streets of Hong Kong. We'd look out of our window down into the street, and there would just be this river of red berets. All teenagers, you know, when you get teenagers who are high on emotion and short on life experience, they can really be threatening and savage and very, very dangerous. And this is what I'm seeing now that I'm here in America. We have our own Red Guard. We've got Antifa and BLM and all these people that are supposedly enforcing all this goodness that they're trying to impose upon us. Everybody needs to look closely into Mao Zedong's revolution and to see how we're just picking up every single bit of their orthodoxy and how they did that to China. And we need to pull back, as Ava says, we need to stop right here. This critical race theory thing is just nothing but more of Mao's revolution come to America. And my blood is stopping in my veins witnessing this in person here now, because I fled back to America and I thought I was coming back to the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Well, one of the things that, you know, was in our original Declaration of Independence, which we defended so much in the Civil War, we codified it into law with the 14th and 15th Amendments and the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the Voting Rights Act of 1965, which is equality, equality, equality. That is totally rejected by critical race thinking, and they want to talk about equity. And what's the difference? Equity is not where we're all equal. It's where we all say the rich have to give their income to the poor so that we all have the same thing. And that's more what they want to do. Their theories propose things like suspending private property rights, seizing land. Well, we see that right now. Look what they just did in the bill, the stimulus bill, where they gave only Black farmers 125% of the amount of the loans that they owed. Okay, not 100%, but 125%, just because they were Black. And there's only about 2% of the farmers are Black. So we're already starting to do these things. And the ultimate thing would be that it would end private property and individual rights and equality under the law, things that are very basic to us, including our freedom of speech. And what it would be replaced by: race-based redistribution of wealth-based rights, active discrimination, and bureaucratic authority. We are seeing all of these things happening. And, you know, they're teaching our children in school things like you said, Mallory, that by the color of their skin, and Ava, you also said the same thing, by the color of their skin, they're responsible for the ills in our country. And that's a terrible thing to teach children. And they're teaching that, say, in first grade. they've got so many different classes and projects that they're having kids work on that if parents really knew what they were, they would just be shocked and abhorred. And what has happened is the parents that are going to the school districts and complaining about this being taught are being dismissed. They're pulling their kids out of school. Or in one case, there was a coach who did handle the football team at that school, complained that his daughter was being taught critical race in history class, and they fired him as a coach. I mean, this is what they're doing. They're dismissing and canceling us when we complain about this.
Yes, well, nobody wants to be called a racist. And, you know, that's a pretty awful label to be tagged with. My question is, I mean, I can shoot so many holes in this critical race theory baloney, okay? First of all, how do you handle people who are multicultural? What if you have a child who's Black and Asian? Or what if you have a child who's white and Black? I mean, how do you teach that child then? Do you teach them that the Black part of them is good, but the white part of them is bad? This has so many problems that I can't even begin to address them all here. But the thing of it is, it's complete baloney. The history they're teaching these kids is altered history. It's not really what happened. They're telling children in school lies about America. And, you know, families don't even understand this is happening. There's many families that don't know what's being taught to their children in school. And I'm just hoping our podcast can be a wake-up call for this.
Well, you know, you see, the whole point of what everything that the left does is to create chaos. It's not really to reach the ends that they say. When a left-wing person is talking, they're lying. There would be no reason for them to be talking unless they're lying, because they're always doing propaganda. So when you have the mixed race child, the Black and the white child, that's right up their alley. That's perfect, because that's the chaos that they want to create. Their whole point is to create chaos. And of course, nobody wants to be called a racist. Most of us, a great number of us, fought the revolution in the 60s to desegregate the schools. In the 50s and 60s, I was marching my shoes off. And now somebody's going to turn around and call me a racist? The anathema of that is just indescribable. It's just, and they know that. They know that now they've put you into a state of horror. They're such bullies. All they do is bully and try to create chaos and lie. And the thing that scares me the most, that really, really sets me back on my heels, is seeing this enormous jumping on the bandwagon of the corporations. We used to be able to feel safe that the corporations were capitalists and they were going to argue our side of things and they were going to be on our side. But now they're all globalists. So they're now creating these critical race theory classes in their corporate headquarters. They're forcing people, in order to keep your job, you have to go to this indoctrination thing that's right out of communist Chinese Maoism. And here you are, somebody working for Honeywell or 3M or Johnson & Johnson, and you're forced to go to a class where you're being taught Maoist revolutionary theories. It's simply beyond, it's beyond nightmare for me. My head swims. But the fact of the matter is that we can't trust these people anymore, because they're into their greed trip and they all just want to be global. They want to make all those millions of dollars off of all those other countries where they can put their corporate headquarters. And so they're not on our side anymore at all. They're not even on the side of America, which is, it's just such an, everybody who's listening to us out there has to take this in, that you can't trust that the corporations are pro-capitalist anymore. Albert Einstein was once asked, what is the greatest miracle in the universe? And his answer is absolutely stunning. He didn't even wait for a second. They said, Dr. Einstein, what is the greatest miracle in the universe? And he said, compound interest. And everybody laughed. And he said, I'm dead serious. Compound interest is the greatest miracle I've ever seen on this planet. So we can't let go of that. Compound interest is an amazing thing. Capitalism is a powerful, enlightened, brilliant tool that the human being has used to pull himself out of poverty.
You know, and you can't figure out for the life of us why a president of the United States of America would send us in this direction. I am just so angry and frustrated with that. But I want to tell you some examples so that parents can understand what's happening, at least in our schools. So in Cupertino, California, an elementary school forced first graders to deconstruct their racial and sexual identities as though they even know what those are, and rank themselves according to their power and privilege. Those are first graders. In Springfield, Missouri, a middle school forced teachers to locate themselves on an oppression matrix based on the idea that straight, white, English-speaking Christian males are members of the oppressor class and must atone for their privilege and covert white supremacy. In Philadelphia, an elementary school forced fifth graders to celebrate Black communism and simulate a Black power rally to free 1960s radical Angela Davis, who you remember was a murderer. And in Seattle, the school district told white teachers that they are guilty of spirit murder against Black children and must bankrupt their privilege in acknowledgement of their thieved inheritance. I mean, I can go on and on with the corporate and the federal seminars that they're making people go to and telling people that they need to get rid of their whiteness. This is just so absolutely wrong. And it's the first principle of turning a society into a socialist or Marxist society is causing a race war. And I'm sorry, but this started with Barack Obama, who started this conversation, a conversation that we never needed to start. And they are continually trying to convince us that we are in a race war that we are not in, because we had none of these issues until Barack Obama told us that we had these issues. And now every single thing that they do continues to tell us, and they throw at us and accuse us of being racist for everything. And this is the purpose, is just to create class warfare. And when we are unstable and we are not united, we are so much easier to manipulate and take over.
And that's one of the most important things you just said, Linda, is that we as patriots and Americans who love America and love our heritage, flaws and all, we need to unite with Black conservatives or any people of color who love America as we do. We need to be united in this fight. And that's one of the reasons that President Trump was so despised by Barack Obama and all of the people on the left, because President Trump was a uniter. He brought us all together, and he was about giving the people back their rights that they have under the Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
And boy, was he white. You never saw a whiter man than Donald Trump. You'd have to be albino or something to be even whiter. But, you know, I've got an idea, guys. You know, in the 1950s, Madeline Murray got out of the schools. She went on a one-woman campaign. I mean, this was one woman who affected this. And she got them to take God out of the schools. They got any discussion of religion or the Ten Commandments or anything like that absolutely removed from school discourse and discussion. So what we need to do is to get Marxism out of the schools. So we have to find a way to convince the American public that Marxism is a form of religion. It's a kind of an occult that is sweeping through our schools and eating our children alive. And we need to be on a campaign to absolutely erase all Marxist discussions, all Marxist bases of thinking, all things like that out of the schoolroom, that it's no longer allowed, they're no longer allowed to discuss these class warfare issues, because this is a pernicious, malicious thing that they're doing. It's not as if they're in the world of ideas and they're out there in the pantheon with all of us throwing their innocuous ideas around or something. It's nothing like that. This is a malicious attempt to destroy our society. And we absolutely have to stand up and fight like hell to prevent these people from pulling this scam off on us, because every single thing they do is a scam. Everything is false. Everything is a lie. And can you imagine doing that to first grade children? Do you have any idea what your cultural heritage was when you were 6 years old? I didn't know. I had no idea. I barely knew I was white. So we have to get it really straight that we're not in a debate of ideas with people, because their idea, they're not trying to debate their ideas with us. They are malicious people attempting to destroy us. So, you know, I saw somebody tweeted today something so silly that to fight against authority is to no longer be an adult. And I tweeted back, so some authority is misguided. It was not adult to fight the Gestapo, to fight Mussolini, to fight Mao. No, I mean, we have to decide what we're going to have as our true authority and legitimate authority, and then use that. We have to get this out of our schools. Because it's been a plot. They have deliberately conspired to do this. They have succeeded at it, and we've got to stop it. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we just have to do back to them what they did to us. When they got God out of the schools, we now have to get Marx out of the schools.
You know, what you said about Germany is absolutely correct, but what did they end up with? When you go to Germany and when you go into the Hall of Remembrance, the last thing you see is question authority. So, you know, we should question authority. But, you know, Christopher Bruffo, who I just really have a lot of respect for, and I can tell you a little story about him in a second. You know, he said, how do you fight this? Well, first of all, I think we're doing a small part right now by talking about it, making people aware, because I think so many parents don't know what's happening and what they're teaching in the schools. And, you know, this father I was telling you about, that was the coach that got fired for complaining about what they were teaching in the school. And by the way, they had never sent out anything that said that they were going to teach this. It wasn't in a class that should have been teaching it, and parents had no idea. So then he lost his job. Well, Judicial Watch is suing on his behalf. And that's an organization that I support and I love, and they do wonderful work, and they are, you know, firmly in the corner of America on this issue. But what Christopher Bruffo brings up is that in order to defeat this, we have to have three things: governmental action, grassroots mobilization, and an appeal to principle. Now, President Trump took governmental action, and he banned critical race theory-based training programs in the federal government. President Biden rescinded that order on his very first day in office, which is despicable. But what President Trump did is he gave a model to the states, and the states themselves can enact these kinds of laws to not have critical race, you know, theory teaching in their state. So that's one step. On the grassroots level, you know, we do have to have, Ava, as you said, a multiracial and a bipartisan coalition doing battle against this whole subject, and that parents need to get together and mobilize in their schools and say, no, we don't want this taught. My child is not going to that class, or I'm taking my child out of that school, whatever they need to do. I've always said, and I'll continue to say, that parents need to be much more aware of what their children are learning in school. And then parents also need to be good parents at home and teach their children the right things, and that what the school is teaching is not always the right thing. The parents need to be the ultimate teachers. That's their responsibility. And then, you know, we just need to continue to point out the dishonesty of of this whole subject and the whole critical race theory and where it's leading and what its intent is, and just keep talking about it and keep the subject alive.
Yeah, and I just want to add one thing. I know this may sound kind of crazy to some people. I think this is God talking to us. I really do. I think there's a curtain being pulled back, and I think we're seeing what's happening for a reason. There's a reason here. And parents that are now having to work from home, and many are permanently working from home, they can get a curriculum that does not have this critical race theory in it, and they can teach their children at home. So it's bringing families together, and I think this is very, very important.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you, Ava. Now we're perhaps getting mommy at home more. Perhaps we're going to get mommy back at home. You see, and also, I can never overemphasize how this is a malicious, deceitful movement. That, you know, what's so interesting is it's always been mostly the younger children being taught by women. Now the teachers are all women who've come out of women's studies classes in all of the colleges and universities, and they've been completely indoctrinated with Marxism, because women's studies classes are Marxism 101. They start out with who's the oppressor, who's the oppressed, and they go right from there. It's you know, paint by the numbers Marxism, and these women now who have poured out of the educational colleges that Thomas Sowell says should all be closed. He says there should be no Department of Education and no colleges distinctly designed just for teaching education. There shouldn't be such a thing. Because what we've bred is, we've bred this entire dimension of women now who are spreading Marxism like crazy through all of our grade schools and forcing it upon our children. And the whole point here is to get control of our children. They need to get control of our children in order to get control of the future. So I think maybe you're right, Ava. This has been a bit of a blessing, because parents are being forced back into the home, and they left the home about 40 years ago. And, you know, most children growing up in the last 30, 40 years, mommy was a blur, racing through the house with her briefcase saying, "I don't have time for that right now. Kids have got to get to the office." And this, "Leave me alone. Don't bother me. Don't bother me. I have briefs to work on. I have a trial tomorrow. I can't deal with you right now." This is all children get for about 30 or 40 years now in their homes. And when I was growing up, my mother was home all the time until I was 8, when she did have to go out to work. But up until I was 8, she was home all the time. And I could always turn right around and touch mommy at the drop of a hat anytime I wanted. And she was a very comforting, loving mother. And I think it's one of the reasons that I didn't grow up half-cocked the way a lot of people have, as that I had this substantially solid, secure mommy who really loved me and was there taking chocolate chip cookies out of the oven as I walked in the back door from school. And if these kids are getting much more of that than they've had for 40 years, I'm rejoicing, because mommy at home is a very, very big deal.
It is. And I, you know, one more just small piece of advice to people. We have elections, you know, throughout the year. So we have special elections at different times. I know where I live right now, we have some special elections. We have some school board elections and some different, you know, local elections. Local elections are very, very important. And, you know, I don't have any small kids anymore. I don't have any kids in school anymore. But we have 3 school board positions open in our town. So what I did is I spoke to the 3 people, and I'm not necessarily in person. One of them I texted with, but I asked them some questions, and I had very particular reasons for my questions. And the last question I asked them is, I said, "What is your thoughts on teaching our children critical race theory in our classrooms?" I didn't say how I felt about it. I never said if I was Democrat or Republican or anything like that. I simply asked questions. And from the people that I got the right answers from, like, absolutely not. That doesn't belong in the schools. I'm the parent. They're taking my parenting rights away from me. Those are the people I'm voting for. And I know it takes a few minutes to do this, but it's important. It's important for our children. It's important for our future to know who you're voting for and not just tick a Democratic or a Republican box, but to know exactly what you're voting for. I want to take a second, ladies, to introduce you. Today we have with us Ava Armstrong. Ava Armstrong, a prolific author. You can find her books all over everywhere that you buy books, but primarily when I buy her books, it would be on Amazon. I'm not saying that that's where you should buy them, but that's where I know they are because that's where I get them. Our second host today, we have Mallory Millett. Mallory is on the board of directors. She's been there for, 30 years, Mallory, for the David Horowitz Foundation. And she just has a phenomenal history, lived all over the world, understands Marxism implicitly and the dangers. And she's always a joy to have. And I'm Linda Martinelli, and I am a business owner. And I am also the host with my husband, Dr. Ron Martinelli, of Talking While Married right here on America Out Loud at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Friday. So I thank you for that conversation. We're going to be right back with another really important subject on policing.
Listen to the Ladies of Liberty Sound Off on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
Now, never before in our history have we witnessed the level of hatred that is now being waged against our law enforcement. While anarchist groups create havoc and overwhelm our first responders, these same groups and their corporate supporters are calling for the police forces to be shrunk and defunded. What can you and I do to make a difference? How can we stand up for what is right and to show our support? That's what I'm going to tell you about this incredible new platform. It's called ShopToTheRight.com. And it's a new shopping platform that will help you find businesses that align with your values. They feature products made in America. They support veteran-owned businesses, as well as our law enforcement community. This is a time when we need to stick together. We need to shop together, and we need to support each other. It's time for you and I to make some noise and stand up to protect our country. And one easy way to do that is to shop and give our money to companies that don't seek to destroy our way of life. So join the fight for liberty. ShopToTheRight.com. Support those American businesses that support law enforcement and veterans.
Five incredible years, and we're just getting started. Well, they say time flies when you're having fun. Well, it also flies by when you're on a mission of love. Love of country, that is. Well, our goal is to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. You can listen in on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. AmericaOutloud.com. It's a fight for the soul of humanity.
Don't miss an episode of the Ladies of Liberty Sound Off. Subscribe to the podcast. And for the latest news and inspiration, join us back at AmericaOutloud.com.
Okay, so now it's time to talk about getting rid of the police and replacing them with social justice warriors. Oh yeah, you think this is not real, but it is real, unfortunately. Many, many different instances have been in the news lately about police officers and everyone second guessing their decisions or what they've done or how they've defended themselves or defended other people. Policing is something that's very near and dear to my heart. So let me tell you that up front. I have family members who serve in law enforcement. So I know a little bit about this. I've also written a novel about a young police officer and the difficulties of that job. I know how awful this job can be. There are many times that police officers roll up and there's already violence taking place, and they have to make decisions very quickly. And they're trained to do that. And they're trained to fire and shoot with lethal force when they believe that their life is actually in danger, or possibly someone else's life is actually in danger. So first of all, that's the layout that you have to understand. Police don't generally get called to come to your house or have a cup of tea. They're usually coming into a disturbance or some kind of violent act taking place, or possibly worse, somebody could be trying to kill them. So I will kick the segment off with that as a beginning.
Well, you know, when I think about young people deciding to go into the police force, it simply breaks my heart. I just don't even know where to go with this, because, you know, we need young people to be dedicated to police work. We need them to look forward to becoming policemen. A lot of policemen come out of police families where their grandfather, their great-grandfather, their father, you know, it's a family tradition to be on the police force. And what worries me is that even people like this now are going to be balking about taking on that uniform. When I think of what it must be like, say, I live in New York City here, and you get up in the morning and you're a police officer and you have to stand in front of your mirror and put that police uniform on and put that badge on, put that hat on, which you might as well be putting an enormous target on your back, that my heart would be in my throat. I would not have the nerve right now to put on the New York Police Department uniform and walk out onto the street. I just don't have the courage that it takes. So when I see these guys, you know, we have a diner near our house here where they accumulate, they congregate a lot. And I'm so amazed. I think it's probably an indication of how old I'm getting. But I look at these guys, and some of them are so young. They're such young, fresh, eager, innocent, eager-looking beavers, you know. And there they are with that police cap and that badge and that uniform on. And they have the courage to walk out into these dangerous streets where people are literally hunting them. And display this uniform. I pray for them, you know. And every time I see them in this restaurant of ours near our house, I always stop at their table. My husband and I stop, and we tell them how much we love them, how much we revere them, how we want to protect them, and we pray for them. And you can't imagine, their faces light up so much that we really can see that they're not being told this very much. Because it's a big shock when we come up and do it. They're all very surprised and very grateful and very warm and open. And I just worry so much about the police families and the young people who are longing to become police officers, who are shirking away now, you know, shrinking away, going, oh boy, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. That's one of the greatest damages that's being done right now with this anti-police nonsense. It's nonsense. You know, it's the little old ladies living in these black neighborhoods that are being held hostage in their homes. They express this all the time when they're being interviewed, that they want more police in their neighborhoods. They're afraid to go out and because they've got the crack dealers and the coke dealers and the gangsters roaming around their neighborhoods. Their own grandsons are bullying them with guns and things. And these poor women are literally held hostage in their own homes. They're afraid to go out and buy a loaf of bread or a gallon of milk. And this just shouldn't be. This absolutely shouldn't be.
No, and the people that are going to suffer are exactly who you said, Mallory. They are the people in the communities. They are the people who are going to call the police, and they haven't come. So we just had this tragic shooting by a police officer of this young girl who was holding a knife to another girl. That officer had 8 seconds to exit his car and make a decision, and 1 second to decide that the other person's life was in mortal danger and to shoot. And the things that have happened since that shooting, and not just that one, but all of them, in second guessing this officer are just absolutely, first of all, they're ridiculous and they are ignorant and they are dangerous. When you have LeBron James doing tweets like he did and saying you're next and showing a picture of the officer, I want to ask LeBron James, when they arrested the young black man with tattoos all over his face that took the life of a seven-year-old little black girl in the line in her car in McDonald's, did he put that picture on the internet and say, you're next? I mean, come on. The black-on-black crime, to be honest, is far more than anything that officers do. The stats are just not what are being told. There is no police brutality happening. But the fact is that America is going to lose because when somebody calls, they are not going to be there. They're not going to come. Or they're going to be afraid to act because their qualified immunity is being taken away and you're going to sue them and you're going to ruin their life. We can't have that. We've got to do the exact opposite. We've got to train them better. We've got to give them the authority to act as they used to have. And then we have to have our courts and our district attorneys backing their play and putting these people in jail instead of like Portland, where the district attorney is not going to prosecute anybody that riots. So it's a free-for-all there. It's been a free-for-all there for over a year. It's just absolutely crazy. That city is destroyed. And the police are absolutely disabled from helping the citizens there because of the politicians and the district attorney. And this is where people need to watch who they vote for. That's why they have this happening. And our president is saying nothing. So we are emasculating all of these men. We are absolutely just cutting them off at the knees and not letting them protect us. And we are the losers because when we need them, they are not going to be able to be there or they are going to be resigning. And by the way, just recently, very recently, New York put through a measure. You may have seen this, Mallory, because you live in New York. And I think you do too, Ava, that if a police officer resigns in New York City, that anywhere else in New York is forbidden from hiring them. They want to punish them for trying to get out of a city that is not supporting them. And that is absolutely wrong. I mean, police officers have human rights just like everybody else does.
Yes. And the dark place I would like to take you right now is what does our world look like here in America without police officers? Because here's the bottom line. The left right now is in power, especially in major cities, and they want to take police officers away. They want to make the force smaller. They want to make the rules different. And what will that look like, I guess, is my question. It's a very frightening thing to think about, because there won't be any more traffic stops. There won't be any more investigations into smaller crimes. And what about our Second Amendment? That's also being kind of whittled down too by the left. So they want less police officers and they want us to be unable to defend ourselves. So you're showing me right here what the left is after. They want us to be helpless and to be preyed upon by criminals.
Well, this is always the Marxist way. You know, the thing that astonishes me is that every time, I mean, the first minute that people came up with this idea of defunding the police force or let's get rid of the police, it is beyond me. I am stumped to the core as to why millions of people do not immediately rise up the next morning with hot-headed opinions saying, not our police force, get off, stop it, we don't want to listen to this. But for some reason, the regular American citizen seems to look at these crazy ideas that come out, well, let's just get rid of the police. And then they kind of shrug their shoulders and sort of go, well, I guess that's what's happening now or something. I don't know what's going through these people's minds. I don't know why the people aren't out in the streets in droves saying, do not take away our police. Do not take away our police. We need the police. And anybody who would say that does not have your best interests at heart. I mean, these things are so, you know, unabashedly destructive and hateful, and they certainly aren't designed to help anybody in society. All these crazy ideas. I just can't get over, when are the American people going to understand that they are being taken over by Marxists? And I know that most people who live in America now have had fathers, brothers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers, grandmothers, uncles who died fighting communism. Huge, huge numbers of us have lost their precious lives fighting Marxism. How can it possibly be that all of a sudden it's in our laps? What have we done to deserve this? How on earth? Mainly what we did was we bought the taking mom out of the home and women have a right to work and all of that stuff. And the children began to be completely unattended to, and the teachers began to have a harder and harder time managing the kids. I've heard a lot of teachers complain that there is no parenting going on anymore, so they have to do all the parenting. I've heard legitimate complaints from teachers over the years that this is what's been evolving. But America, all of you people out there, let's try for wholesome. Let's work for wholesome. Let's work for healthy, decent, reasonable, respectable, honest assessments of our lives here in America. Their very idea that our children should be made conscious of what color skin they are, that they should be made to feel bad about what their heritage is as an American, what society or country their ancestors came from. This is all so backwards. We have to stand up. We have to take a stand right now. Get Marxism as far away from us as possible. No more fantasy or fascination with Marxism. Let's just dispense with it. I mean, you know, why don't we let the teachers teach devil worship in our classes? You know, it's how far are we going to go with this? With letting people who do not have our best interests at hand take over our children and completely demolish their thinking processes and their hearts and minds and souls.
That is what's happening. You know, when we talk about defunding our police, one of the things that Marxism seeks to do is, you know, once everybody has no confidence in the police start leaving their jobs, we're defunding the police, then we get people in there to do the jobs who are actually much at a lower step in, you know, whatever training, intelligence, coming in because the good guys are not going to do it anymore. So right now it's like the police have training, they have requirements to be able to be an officer, and they're going to dumb that down just like they dumb down the math tests and everything else, so that the quality that you're going to get is not going to be very good. Then they want to federalize your law enforcement so that they can control it. Same thing that the Nazis did. But another thing that people really need to be looking at today is, by defunding these officers and by taking away their qualified immunity and by having district attorneys and courts that will not put people or keep people in jail or prison, what we've done is we have dramatically increased our murder rate in so many cities across this country. So, you know, Ava, to your point about what is it going to look like? Well, here's just a little itty bitty taste of what it's going to look like. You can count over 4,000 additional dead people right now due to the defunding of police that have not been on the rolls in the past years. So what happened is the murder rate went up. We have now not less, but more murders. We have 4,000 dead people in addition to the normal number that we have due to not supporting our police. And now you can extrapolate that to far more when the criminals take over, as in some cities they are. This is You know, who's taking the blame for that? If Black Lives Matter, don't those Black Lives Matter? Don't the people, the 4,000 people, don't they matter?
Yeah, you're making a point that I was just going to bring up. BLM, Black Lives Matter. It's kind of a joke, really, because if Black lives really mattered, they would have burnt Chicago down a long time ago. Okay. Why don't those Black lives matter? Because Black on Black crime is something, for some reason, we don't talk about in this country. I don't know why we don't talk about that, because that's where the big statistics lie. And that's where the most violence is. So why aren't we talking about that?
You know, Larry Krasner, this district attorney that George Soros got elected with his $1.5 million contribution in Philadelphia. Larry Krasner is the district attorney of Philadelphia, and he has caused more insanity to going on. I mean, the first week that he was district attorney, he fired 30 prosecutors, and then he let 4,000 felons out into the street. The murder rate has gone up something like 200% in Philadelphia. He is just a menace to the human race in Philadelphia, no matter what race they are. Every human being there is in terrible jeopardy because of this district attorney. And now come to find that PBS has made an 8-part miniseries about Larry Krasner that has just begun airing last week. We're going to record it. We didn't find out about it till last week, so we missed the first one. But we're going to be recording all of them in our home here and watching them. But to imagine that PBS is touting a man, praising and claiming him to be excellent, a man who has created this kind of havoc in the city of Philadelphia. Now, they're trying to withdraw him from office. There's a big movement in Philadelphia trying to rescind his office at the same time as PBS is putting out a puff story of 8 sections of miniseries about this man. I mean, the convoluted, crazy nuttiness that's going on here, where the values are so twisted and so mixed up. I don't know. I was so shocked when I found out about this miniseries. I'm terrified to watch it because, again, the American people are being misguided by PBS, by these public broadcasting networks that seem to be there only for the purpose of putting out propaganda that's inherently destructive to everything about our way of life in America.
We have to speak out, as both of you have said, we have to speak out against defunding our police, against actually against taking away their qualified immunity or anything else that harms police officers. And I know that the big call right now from the Democrats is to hold police accountable. I urge everyone to look at the statistics of how many police shootings are done, how many police officers are shot, how many unarmed people are shot. And I have the figures from 2019, and I can tell you that what they say and what the truth is are completely different. The fact
that would be the perfect way to end this. Yes.
Yeah. The fact is that most police officers that shoot unarmed men, they do not tend to be Black men. They in fact have shot more unarmed white men than Black men. Mm-hmm. And the fact is that more Black officers shoot more white suspects than do white officers shoot Black suspects. So the narrative is a lie. The entire narrative is a lie.
Right.
We have lost so many police officers this year to people just walking up and executing them. And that is not what police do to people. They don't walk up to people that they don't know and just execute them as our police officers are being executed. These are people that are fathers and parents and sisters and brothers and husbands and wives. I mean, and we are destroying their lives. Are there bad apples in police departments? Just like anywhere else. Of course, there are a few, but the percentage is so small, and for the hundreds of thousands into the millions of people contacts every single day that an officer has, the amount that end up in a use of force is under 2%. And of that 2%, the amount that end up in a deadly use of force is minuscule. We are exaggerating this beyond belief. It's so out of control. The narrative is such a lie. And people need to understand that. Somebody like LeBron James, who touches 50 million followers with a lie, it's just infuriating.
Yes, I think our police officers need our support now more than ever. I follow a great account on Twitter. It's called Law Enforcement Today. And I would encourage everyone to follow that. You get some great statistics and interesting data from that follow. And I know one thing for sure, Black communities want more police, not less. So I think we need to team up also with folks living in Black communities and, you know, hear what they have to say about the violence going on in their neighborhoods.
Well, I agree, Ed. You know, that's a good thing to end on, Ava. We've got to get involved and we've got to say something and not sit here and just be quiet about this, because as we're doing this, we are losing so many officers to early retirement, to injuries, and to just being disgusted with the whole system because nobody has their back.
Well, ladies, that's a wrap. One more step for womankind.